Today on Real Radio.
Listen, Christian, as we approach the Bible, it is absolutely vital that the only thing we read into the Bible is where I'm at in the Bible. The Bible is to be something that reads into our lives. We are not to tell the scriptures what they mean.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. We're looking at a section that tells us of the events leading up to the arrest of Jesus of Nazareth, including Peter's denial of his master. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Passing Through the Storm.
It's no accident that in this chapter, Luke 22, that it deals with the betrayal of Jesus Christ, that it deals with this man called Judas, it deals with this man called Peter, and why they're all found in the same chapter is very significant. There's a lesson for us to learn here. We're looking at a message this morning entitled Passing Through the Storm. Passing Through the Storm. Peter, you're going to see this morning, is in a storm. One, Peter was thrust into that storm. Another man, Judas, he's in the midst of his own storm, created by his own antics and his own lust for money, as we know from the Bible that Judas is one who was pillaging the money bag of the disciples. We read that in John's gospel, and we've got Jesus who's going through his storm. And of course, his storm is prophesied in Scripture. And so we've got these dynamics in front of us this morning that each and every one of us today, we need to be careful that we read into the Scripture this and this one thing only. Where's my name in this event? That's it. Listen, Christian, as we approach the Bible, it is absolutely vital that the only thing we read into the Bible is where I'm at in the Bible. The Bible is to be something that reads into our lives. We are not to tell the Scriptures what they mean. The Scriptures are to tell us clearly what they mean. And that is a very, very important thing. Don't ever approach the Bible with a bias that it is going to tell you thus and so. Understand that when you approach it, you are saying, Lord, speak to me from your word. Tell me what you want me to do. Lead me in the way everlasting. And so as we consider where we're at, passing through the storm, we want to mark this in Proverbs Chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. Christian, you and I are to guard our hearts and surround it with the Word of God, not with rumors, not with other things, not with scuttle, but with the very Word of God. Our hearts need to be governed by the Bible, says Proverbs 4, 23. Peter will be confronted with the Bible. And he's going to yield to it with the Word of God. Judas will be fighting against the Bible, not believing it. So when we approach the Scriptures, we want to be careful to put on our sandals, as it were, and learn from what is being said. So verse 49 is where we begin, and we'll go all the way down to verse 62. 49 to 62, I know what you're thinking, that we'll never make that. But we will make it, because I'm going to keep you over until we do make it. Verse 49, when those around Jesus saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? I'm going to give you one guess as to who's talking like that. And when one of them struck the servant of the high priest, he cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priest, the captains of the temple and the elders who had come to him, he said, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs when I was with you daily in the temple? You did not try to seize me, but this is your hour. You ought to mark that. And a connecting statement, the power of darkness. Now, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire and in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Verse 59, then about an hour had passed. Another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately while he was still speaking, the word means as the words were in his mouth, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Church, just by way of review real quick, verses 49 to 53, we don't need to belabor that. That is the account as the stage is being set. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's when Jesus had been praying, asking the Father if there's any other way for mankind to be saved than for Jesus to receive of this cup of judgment. Let that be so. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus was strengthened by the angels. He took that commitment to go to the cross for you and I. I believe, as I told you before, I believe our salvation was determined in that garden prayer of Jesus. After that moment, Jesus was in total control, totally in command. He went to the cross and he laid down his life, and of course 3 days later took it up again, all for our salvation. And during that garden time, the disciples were sleeping, and then Jesus said, get up, wake up, my betrayer is at hand. And Judas came, as we studied last time together, and with that entourage of over 600 men. We know that the detachment of soldiers would have numbered in the Roman garrison of about 600. So there's at least 600 people in that beautiful slope of those massive olive trees there. And they come to Jesus, and as one of the men approach, there's the high priest's servant. And he probably would have been wearing a helmet, but those helmets in those days were kind of like a leather beanie with metal on top of the leather. And we know from reading the other Gospels that Peter steps forward with a sword and apparently misses the guy's head, or he hits the guy's head, and because he's wearing that armor-plated beanie, the blade would have slid down on the right side and cut off the man's ear. His name was Malchus. We know that from Scripture. And his ear falls on the ground because when you put the four Gospels together, it says that Jesus stooped down, picked up the ear, and put it back on Malchus's head and told Peter, "Put away your sword. Don't you know I can call down a legion of angels to deliver me? I'm not supposed to be delivered. This is part of the plan, Peter. Nice try. Thank you very much for helping me out here, but your emotions have gotten ahead of your theology, Peter. Stand down." The part that I just see as amazing is that here are these lunatics that are coming out to arrest Jesus. Jesus picks up the man's ear who gets cut off and puts it back on the guy's head like Mr. Potato Head gets his ear put back on. And nobody says, "Wait a minute, maybe we should call this arrest off." And there's no word of Malchus standing up and saying, "Hey, wait a minute, the guy just fixed my ear. I'm very indebted to him for this." None of that. Which answers why Jesus says, "This is your hour, and the power of darkness reigns." Human effort, Jesus is announcing, has now mated with the powers of hell itself. And they've merged for the moment. What a tremendous thing that is. Imagine the demonic powers that were present in that tranquil, beautiful garden as Jesus is apparently invaded. The truth of the matter is, everything's going to plan, according to plan. So as we look to our study this morning, it's very important because it's very dynamic. Church, you remember now, for weeks we were looking at Judas's betrayal of Jesus Christ, right? You remember that? It's been a long time now, but you remember that. You must remember also that in the upper room, while Judas was in the act of betraying Jesus, you've got Jesus announcing that his betrayer is among them. He tells Peter in this chapter a little earlier, "Peter, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows." That's in Peter's head. I don't know if Peter took it seriously, but it's in his head. There's a lot of dynamic going on. And so now, all of a sudden, you see this grand entrance of soldiers marching onto the Garden of Gethsemane. The arrest is taking place. Peter steps forward with good intentions to protect God. And now this scene begins to unfold before us. Mark it down. Point number one, passing through the storm, it's this. The danger of almost staying close. Almost staying close. What do you mean by that? This is what I mean. Peter almost stayed close. This way. Number one, in danger of associating with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 54. Now having arrested him, they led Jesus and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Two things I want to point out. Number one is the high priest house. That has been actually uncovered. Church, it is amazing when you go to Israel, the exact location of Caiaphas's house has been unearthed. It's in such great condition that you get to go inside the house. It's subterranean today. You go below the ground level and you go into Caiaphas's house. That is an archaeological fact. Data was found in there from this period of time. And you can read all about it in many areas, but one of them, National Geographic, did a great story on the unearthing of Caiaphas' house. It's a real place. Number two, it is this, that Peter followed at a distance. Will you mark that down? It's never good to follow Jesus at a distance. That's why I use the word association. Whenever we think that we're going to follow Jesus at a distance, we are associating only ourselves with Jesus Christ. That is a dangerous place to be. Because as believers, we are to not be associating ourselves with Christ. We are to be with Christ, as Christ is in us. When I gave you this point about in danger of almost staying close, you might think in so many things that staying close is okay. And a lot of things it is. You know, you were close. Are you throwing darts? Well, you were close. Horseshoes, you were close. But not when it comes to walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus Christ, church, we can't stay close. We need to be close with him. Peter is following at a distance. Now, I got to tell you, this morning it's going to sound like I'm beating up on Peter. So let me say this first of all. I highly respect Peter. There is no doubt Peter said more wonderful things than any other disciple. He also said the stupidest things more than any other disciple. Okay, Peter was found sleeping. Peter was also found running ahead. Peter is the all-around representation of Christians in Christianity. I love him. And I don't know how you view Peter, but according to church history, Peter's a big guy. For those of us who are a little bit older, do you remember Bonanza? Do you remember Hoss? He'd walk up to a horse and slug it and knock the horse out. That's the kind of guy Peter. Peter's a big man, big fisherman, kind of rough around the edges. Peter was, you know, a Green Bay Packer kind of cheesehead kind of guy, sits in the football game with no shirt on, snowing. That's Peter, rough guy. He's following Jesus at a distance. The Bible tells us that these things that were written in advance were written for our learning, so we need to learn from Peter's life. Let's also keep in mind that this precious man that we call Peter walked on water. We haven't. He made the ultimate confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We had to learn that from him. He also saw the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's a glory that you and I have yet to see, and we long to see. But when the Bible tells us that Peter followed at a distance, remember, he was a good Jewish boy brought up under the teaching of the Old Testament. And I'm wondering if in his mind, as he's following at a distance, that doesn't come to his mind, the first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed. That word blessed means happy, glad, full, content is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's where Peter is heading in a moment. Is he thinking about this verse? Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates in it day and night. He, you, us, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which are driven away by the wind. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, but the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So now you see Judas and you see Peter. Both of them, church, listen, both of them are seemingly acting the same, refusal or rejection or denial. Peter is going to be announcing, I don't even know the man. Judas never said that. Judas was just living it out. Peter says, I don't even know what you're talking about. We're going to see what those words really mean in the original language here in a moment. There's no record of Judas talking like that. What's the difference? Have you ever fallen? Have you ever stumbled as a Christian? Have you ever come to that place where you've wondered, have I betrayed Christ? Have I somehow denied him? What's the difference between you and I, Judas and Peter, in this message? Only you can know. I must know for me. You must know for you. I cannot know for you. You cannot know for me. This is a serious thing. The danger of almost staying close. Well, I'm going to live for Jesus on Sunday, but not on Monday. Or I'm going to live for Jesus Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, but Wednesday's happy hour. Watch out. You say, Jack, are you joking? I'm not kidding. Because things might seemingly begin with a sincere step or commitment. We might even say, well, I'm going to go to happy hour to witness to my friends. Watch out. Because Peter, we know from John's gospel, was accompanied by John himself. You got to read John's gospel to get that. But John, who came into the courtyard because he had privilege, the high priest knew John, found out in John chapter 18. You can read it later. Peter went on and went close, drew near to the unbelieving world. He put one foot in the world and one foot in his relationship to God, and those two can never meet like oil and water. We deceive ourselves when we think that we can be a Christian on Sunday, but a pseudo or part-time Christian on Monday. And then by the time Friday comes around, we're praying, oh God, keep me alive until I get back to church on Sunday so I can renew my commitment to you. Oh no, that's not relationship, that's religion. And it doesn't work with God. Also under this point is the danger of comforting yourself among them being the world. Verse 55, it says, now when they had kindled the fire, notice they, when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the courtyard, and sat down together, look at the contrast, Peter sat among them. Wow. When the Christian is almost close to Jesus, the Christian is in danger of falling down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shameful thing to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Wow, is that not a verse for our day? Think about movies today or TV today. Oh man, you know what? Listen, think about all the stuff that's going on the computer and all the Facebook and MySpace and all the Twittering and all the blabbing and all the gossiping and all the stuff that's going on. The Bible says don't talk about those things that people do in secret. It's a sin. For the believer to talk about those things that people do in secret. Yikes. Who said that? Bible says that. Also, it says to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you avoid your ungodly family. It doesn't mean that you can only work for a Christian company. I can't find any work. How come? Because no Christian companies are hiring. Get out there. And get a job. You're supposed to go as a Christian into the world and work in the world. That's how the world gets converted to Christ, by your godly example. But when it comes to fellowship, friendship, closeness, tightness, being together, the Bible warns us that as a believer, we are not to have close, tight, ungodly friends. They will pull us down. Peter is fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness. He is close to them. He's around the fire with them. He's comforting himself with them around a fire in a courtyard, and the conclusion will be disastrous. Number two, the danger of almost counting the cost. Peter almost counted the cost. By that we mean the fear of man will manipulate us. Look at verse 56. I love, by the way, the attention to detail in the Bible. Get your pen ready, Bible student. This is very cool. Remember, whenever you see the word certain, certain village, certain person, in this case, a certain servant girl. You ought to circle the word certain because it means more than the average statement. It means somehow there's a connection with this girl and what's going on. A certain servant girl seen him, that's Peter, as he sat by the fire, looked intently. She stared at him. By the way, she's somewhere between 12 to 15, 12 to 16 years of age. How big's Peter? He's a big boy. She looks at him and says to him, this man was also with him. She says it as a matter of fact, and she looks intently. She stares Peter down, big, burly Peter. He's got fish scales in his beard. Yeah, man's man. Just got done cutting somebody's ear off. And this little girl looks at him. He has been with him. This guy's a Christian. Here, big old Peter, being manipulated by fear. My friend, if you, listen, you guys, there's storms in life. Have you not, have, you all understand that, right? There's storms in life. You say, what? Oh, can we watch you for a while? I mean, you haven't gone through a storm? A storm's coming. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. Oh, your storm's coming. Everybody goes through storms. That's how the real you is found out. That's how you know what you're really made of. When a storm hits, when the foundation's tested. If your foundation is not in Jesus Christ, a certain girl can come up to you and say, I know that you're a Christian. You're one of those believers in Jesus, aren't you? And you, because of fear, will be manipulated by it, and you may be tempted to cave in. You might say, well, I'm not an every Sunday kind of Christian. You know what you're doing? You're denying him. I'm denying him. Are you a Christian? Are you a pastor? I'm denying him. The world is coming after the Christian. We're to stand up. Why? Because we've read the whole Bible. We know how it ends. It's good with us. It's good for us. But the world comes and the world says, boo! And this little girl looks at big Peter. And he about fell over. She looked intently upon him. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25 that the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Listen, the word safe leads to the word confident.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Passing Through the Storm. It's a look at part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, which chronicles events in the final hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth prior to his execution. Part of our teacher's verse by verse through this fascinating eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, once we finish this chapter, we'll have just two to go before reaching the end of Luke's gospel. If you've just recently joined us on a daily basis here on Real Radio, you may be interested in what we're currently making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and it's really a terrific way to internalize this first century historical narrative about Israel's Messiah. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more and to place your order. Just click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.